Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Cheers, no waiting. Episode number 635, Gene Carson in Kingsport, Tennessee. Two Chairs, No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out the 60 Years of Mayberry book by Randy Turner. Great book. You might want to check it out. It's got articles by Dixie Griffith, George Lindsay Jr., Bruce Bilson, and even me. So go and check it out at Weavers. While you're there, you might want to check out some of the great new lithographs that we found of Goober, George Lindsay. They're actually signed by him. We have a Talent of Goober lithograph and a Three Faces of Goober lithograph, both signed by him. Head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com to check it out. Two Chairs, No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. And executive producer of episode number 635 is Mark Copeland. So, Mark, thank you for being a patron, and thank you for helping me out here on Two Chairs, No Waiting. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs, No Waiting, and I hope you are glad to be in Mayberry, because I'm always glad to be here talking with you. Tonight, we're going to be hearing from Gene Carson from Kingsport, Tennessee, back in 1998. Now, this will be our fourth episode that's kind of going into or remembering the Kingsport event from 1998. And if you haven't gotten to check those out, I want to encourage you to go into our show notes for this episode, and you'll be able to go and see all of those different episodes and relive just a little bit of the fun we had in 1998 in Kingsport. Now, the event was called I Remember Mayberry, and we've talked about that before. But it was to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network. And Gene's going to appear twice in this episode because she played two different people. She was Daphne, the fun girl from Mount Pilot, you know, and she was also Naomi Connors, the convicted husband beater from the episode Convicts at Large. Now, what I've always thought is really kind of amazing about this is the first episode where she appeared as one of the fun girls as Daphne was episode number 69, the aired order of the show. And it aired in November of 1962. It was called Barney Mends a Broken Heart. Okay. So that was the very first time she appeared as the fun girl. Well, it was only five episodes later, episode number 74, that was on December the 10th. So from November the 5th was the first time she appeared in 1962. And then again, on December the 10th, 1962, she appeared in Convicts at Large as the convicted husband beater, Naomi Connors. So only five episodes apart. And I got to tell you the truth, I never figured out that it was the same person. Well, for a long time, I never picked up on the fact that those were the same lady, because she looked so different between being the fun girl and being the convict at large. So tonight we're going to hear from her in both roles, and we're going to have a little bit of trivia, and we're going to hear from Randy Turner. So I don't want to keep you waiting too much longer. So we're going to start off. This is in Kingsport, Tennessee, and it's going to be Gene Carson as the fun girl. Now, I say this not too often, but I've said it the last few weeks when we're talking about these particular episodes. I encourage you to watch the video version because you'll get to see what's happening. In this case, she's going to be appearing first as the fun girl, and she's in her polka dot, red and white polka dot outfit that she wore as a fun girl. And then later, we're going to hear from her as a convict. Now, so to start this one off, we're going to have David Browning as the Mayberry deputy was hosting that night and was introducing her. So let's go ahead and hear from Gene Carson as a fun girl.
many strange people and wonderful people in the fine city of Mayberry. We just brought a few of them back. You remember them girls from over at Mount Pilot? You know, we used to talk about how nice it was over at Mount Pilot. It's nice here at the Meadowview, too. I'll tell you, it's beautiful. They got the golf course out there and everything. It's big is what it is. Yeah, but I'll tell you what. I was thinking that them fun girls was around here somewhere. Yeah. Huh? Hey! Hold that vehicle right there! Hold it! Hold it right there! You can't drive a vehicle in here! What's going on? All right, I'm going to have to write you up.
So that was Gene as the fun girl there in Kingsport, Tennessee. And wow, it was great. Now, later in that same event, she came out and did the Convict at Large. Now, as part of that, I got to be a part of it as Floyd. So, of course, you know, they had Floyd trapped up at the cabin. And so that's what we're going to be picturing here. So you picture in your mind, that's what Floyd is going to come out here. Or I, as Floyd, will come out here in just a second and kind of introduce that. So let's go ahead and watch that or listen to that. So again, I encourage you to watch them because it's more fun than just hearing these. So let's head back over to Kingsport and hear from Floyd as he sets up the picture.
You remember that episode, Floyd Barney? Yeah, really. Up in the cabin by the convicts. Well, we're going to try to redo one of the scenes that happened on that episode. So you followed that employee was sitting in the, on the couch, and Naomi, the husband beater, was right around behind him. Now, I won't say that much. But try to picture behind me here, the couch in the cabin room. And, we'll do our best.
Thank you.
That was so great. It's great to see Jean. And that was so fun to get to do that with her, where she busted the vase over Floyd's head and was trying to get him to fight with her. Now, we did that several times, and different times it was obviously different. That was maybe probably one of the very first times. It was probably the second time we ever did it. So we got better at it, and it was fun. We added Barney and Big Maud and everything into the scene eventually. And just made it more fun. But what a treasure that is for me. And Jean Carson was such a wonderful, wonderful person. All right. So we have got some, it's time for Place from Trivia. It's time for our trivia for the week. You know, we've been playing these every week here lately. So a little background music. And we're going to do some true and false trivia. Okay. This is from Scott Hopkins' book. So definitely want to make sure you go and check that out. It's from the Mayberry Trivia, 1,500 Questions About a TV Classic by Scott Hopkins. You can pick it up over at Weaver's Department Store. All right, so head over to Weaver's and pick it out. So let's check out question number one. Here we go. Andy gets a sprained wrist from fighting Daphne's boyfriend. True or false? Andy gets a sprained wrist from fighting Daphne's boyfriend. True or false? The answer is Andy got a sprained wrist from fighting Daphne's boyfriend. The answer is false. He got a black eye. Remember that? All right. Number two. Barney unsuccessfully leads a group of women in singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Barney unsuccessfully leads a group of women in singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. I love that episode. All right, last time here, and then the answer. The answer to this question, Barney unsuccessfully leads a group of women in singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. That is true. We will not sing. We will not sing. It's what he actually got him to sing. So he was unsuccessful in that. That's funny. Number three. Miss Hildebright was known as the Beast of the Fourth Floor. All right. True or false? Miss Hildebright, and I hope I'm saying her name right, was known as the Beast of the Fourth Floor. The answer is false. It was Miss Von Roeder. Miss Von Roeder was the Beast of the Fourth Floor. All right, that's three questions. And true or false is not the answer. It's either true or false. You have to pick one. Okay. All right, number four. According to mountain folklore, if you sleep on a willow chip that has been under a sleeping dog's head, you will have the same dream the dog had. I didn't know that. According to mountain folklore, if you sleep on a willow chip that has been under a sleeping dog's head, you will have the same dream that the dog had. All right. True or false? Time to give your answer. According to mountain folklore, if you sleep on a willow chip that's been under a sleeping dog's head, you'll have the same dream the dog had. And the answer is true. That is true. Yeah, I don't remember that one. That's a good one. All right, number... That's what Barney said about it. I didn't know that. All right, let's see. Andy told Reverend... This is number five. Andy told Reverend Tucker that the reason Barney was nodding off in church was because he had been up with Otis all night. True or false? Okay. Andy told Reverend Tucker that the reason Barney was nodding off in church was because he had been up all night with Otis. Okay. Last chance. True or false? Andy told Reverend Tucker that the reason Barney was nodding off in church was because he had been up with Otis all night. The answer is false. Nope. Andy had him on a chicken stakeout until 4 a.m. That's right. Folks in the chat room got it. Good job. So he had him on chicken stakeout. So that's our five questions. But we do have a bonus question this week. A bonus question. So if you're ready for it, here it comes. This one's not true or false, okay? This is a harder one, all right? Question here. How many actors played Andy Taylor on The Andy Griffith Show? How many actors played Andy Taylor on The Andy Griffith Show? It's a bonus question. Last chance. If you don't know it, if you want to wait, you can pause it. How many actors played Andy Taylor on The Andy Griffith Show? The answer is two. Two people. Oh, some of you got it. Andy Griffith and Gavin McLeod played Andy Taylor in the movie The Sheriff Without a Gun. Remember that? That's where Gavin McLeod did it. They both played Andy Taylor. Gavin McLeod just passed away this past weekend. So this was kind of a nod to him. And it was from, this question was submitted by one of our folks in our chat room, Rascal. So thank you, Rascal. That was a good one. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. We just got some other bad news about a passing that just happened, I think, this morning. And we heard this from Karen Knotts. She said, it's with a heavy heart we say goodbye to the beautiful, talented actress Arlene Galanca. Arlene Galanca passed away early this morning. This is on Memorial Day, Monday, Memorial Day. And she has a photo of her that she has. Anyway, so sadly, we lost Arlene as well this weekend, as well as Gavin McLeod. So they are remembered with smiles and laughter, I guarantee you. And so we hate to see them go, but thank them for all the fun that they've given us. All right, guys, now we're going to go and hear from This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Last week, we discussed Bruce Bilson's parents, children, and grandchild, all of whom have been involved in the entertainment industry and make up quite the dynasty in the field. Bruce graduated from high school in January of 1946 during World War II and started attending UCLA the very next month at the age of 17, initially majoring in English. With a father in the industry, Bruce had an interest himself, though he originally had no ambition to take the career path he eventually followed. He did work as an extra in films as early as when he was just 14 years old. Perhaps it's not surprising that he eventually did become more interested. He switched his major to drama in the second semester, and that fall joined the new theater arts department. He said he knew at that point that he would pursue a career in show business. While he did not foresee becoming a director at that point, he did do his first direction when he directed a one-act play in college. In the course of his studies, he was not limited to live theater and took classes in the camera, film editing, and so on. Before he graduated, he was required to make a student film, which he used to pitch himself after graduation. Paramount offered him work if he could get into the Directors Guild. Luckily, the head of the guild was a friend of his father's. Unluckily, he could not help Bruce, since 40% of his assistant directors were out of work as a result of the toll that early television was taking on the film industry. 6 months later, Bruce finally got his foot in the door when an editor friend of his father was looking for an apprentice editor to edit film for his company. Bruce had learned to splice film in college, and so fit the bill. That, plus he was willing to work even though he wasn't in the union. That all ended when he was called up for the Air Force, and so knew he would be gone for 2 years. But thanks to a dislocated shoulder and connections that his dad had, Bruce ended up serving his time in the military, stationed in Burbank, working in training photo units to document military actions. After finishing his stint, he got into the Editors Guild and then got a call to work on You Bet Your Life, starring Groucho Marx, where he worked for a couple of seasons. He then met with the director of The Liberace Show, another friend of his father's, who took a liking to Bruce and asked, "You've directed, haven't you?" Having done a student film, Bruce answered, "Yes," and he was hired and inducted into the Directors Guild. Bruce directed 60 episodes of Liberace Show, but then couldn't get a job directing anything else and had to return to editing. When he couldn't get more directing work, he asked the union if he could apply to be a second assistant director, but the guild refused, saying he had to work only in the category he was in for at least a year. Now, this rule was actually in place to prevent someone rising from assistant director to actual full director too quickly, but since he had already been a director, he was stuck. However, Warner Brothers was desperate for an assistant director on a show, and the guild finally acquiesced and allowed Bruce to step down in rank, which he did when he became the second assistant director on The Liberace Show. He was assisting the man who had been his assistant when he was the director on the show. After that job ended, Bruce's dad made a recommendation that would eventually be instrumental to Bruce working on The Andy Griffith Show. He was sent to meet with Argyle Nelson, the head of production at Desilu. Nelson had worked for RKO when Bruce's dad headed up the short subject department for that studio. When Nelson learned Bruce was in the Directors Guild, he hired him to work on My Favorite Husband, a series that was in its third and final season, the first of many jobs Bruce would have at Desilu. By the way, the original radio version of My Favorite Husband had starred Lucille Ball. The series Bruce worked on, which ended in 1955, was being aired concurrently with a different version of that show that had been retooled and also starred Lucille Ball. That other version of My Favorite Husband was a little show called I Love Lucy. However, Bruce's time at Desilu was not a straight path to his eventual time with the Andy Griffith Show, which we will continue to explore next week. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to take care of yourself, take care of one another, and take Andy's advice, and go out there and act like somebody.
Well, thank you, Randy, again, for that great report. If you'd like to make sure that you don't miss out on any of the great stuff that Randy's doing on around the Andy Griffith Show, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of it. So we had, I should have mentioned as we were going through that Arlene Galanca, she played Millie on the Andy Griffith Show, if you didn't recognize her actual name. And of course, Gavin McLeod, he was the skipper or the captain on Love Boat, but he was in two episodes of the Andy Griffith Show where he played Andy Taylor, the sheriff, in The Sheriff Without a Gun. So he was in that one as well as a previous episode. I can't remember what it was called, The Bank Job or something like that. It was where he was pretending to be somebody that was filming something. I can't remember now. Anyway, whatever it is, you guys can find it out. Go look it up. You can go to Mayberry.info and look them up, and you can find out who they are. Mayberry.info is a great source. So, folks, I hope that you have enjoyed the episode this evening. It's always great to be able to spend time with you here in Mayberry. I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. Or email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I want to thank all of our patrons over at Patreon for supporting the podcast. I'd love it if you would do it as well. You can head over to patreon.com/2chairs and you can donate to the podcast and help keep things running if you feel like that's something you can do. But don't feel like you have to. But if you'd like to, feel free to. I would love to hear from you again. Give me a call or email me. It's always fun to hear from you. Until next week, when we meet back here in Mayberry. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.
The Capital Ideas Podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.